Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and today I have guest RK from Resonate on the call, and we are discussing all things modern workplaces. And as we sort of run through, modern workplaces aren't just all about technology. There's a whole range of aspects that need to be considered to develop that truly modern workplace. So great to have RK on the show today, and look forward to hearing your feedback. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and today I have guest on the show, RK from Resonate. G'day, RK.
Hey there, Tom. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not too badly at all, mate. Waiting for the Sydney lockdowns to be over soon. Hopefully very soon, fingers crossed.
Hopefully soon. Yeah, no, I think we're just talking about that. We're free at the moment, so we'll see how long that lasts for.
Almost every time that you and I speak, you do remind me that you're not in lockdown.
Well, you'll get me back soon, I'm sure. mate, today it's we've been talking about, so RK is works for Resonate, and they're our marketing partner who we've been working with for the last couple of months. So RK, give us a bit of a rundown of who you are and what you guys do.
Yeah, look, I'm the founder and CEO, co-founder and CEO of a company called Resonate here in Sydney. We work Australia-wide. We primarily focus on three things, you know. We focus on any B2B organization that needs its strategy re-looked at. We work with them on their strategy. We work marketing end-to-end, all aspects of their marketing, be it building a website, maintaining that site, doing social marketing for them, content marketing, writing their blogs, search marketing, working with vendors and partners like Microsoft and the likes of Lenovo or Google or AWS. So that's another part of our business. And then sales, strategic advisory and consulting on any opportunities that are sort of $100,000 plus in an engagement or multi-million dollar contract over several years for managed services providers. We have an advisory and consulting arm to advise on those opportunities. So three things we do: strategy, advisory and consulting, marketing end-to-end, and sales advisory and consulting. So you've been kind enough to start working with us over the last 2 months, and we're enjoying the journey so far.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. So looking forward to what comes up, what comes from it, which is exciting. But it sort of raised that in our discussions as well. We've been talking about what we deem as that modern workplace, which aligns with that whole technology spiel from the way Microsoft are positioning their tech foundation and all the bits around it. But what's interesting is that modern workplace isn't just technology by far. It's much more than just a technology stack these days. And that's what I wanted to delve into with you today, was your perspectives on what makes a truly modern workplace, how people need to start adapting to that and changing and looking at how that's going to fit into their business. Because the reality is it's a fair change to a business to adopt that modern standard.
Absolutely. Tom, and well pointed out, it's not just about technology. The truth is there are various trends that have driven where we've arrived at. And even before COVID, the modernization of workplace was in full swing. I used to be the CEO of another firm. It was an American firm. And my counterparts in America were hiring colleagues from all over the country in the United States. In Australia, the modernization was a bit slow to take off, and COVID made it rampant. COVID really drove the need to modernize the actual workplace. I remember in the previous firm, and the organization globally had about 3,000 staff members, the corporate headquarters in America, around 30 or 40% of them were working from different states. And they were working from home, because I'd have these calls with them where I was almost always in the head office here in Sydney or Australia. And they were almost always at home, and they were in their PJs. In PJs in some cases, et cetera. And this was 2015, 2016, right? So it wasn't, when you called someone on a video call, you didn't expect them to be running around a park or whatever it might be, but that's become the norm now. So that modernization of the workplace, that trend began in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, a long time before COVID happened. COVID just put this whole thing on steroids for us here in Australia. And where we've arrived at now is organizations can't afford not to modernize the workplace. And this doesn't mean a bolt-on of technology, whereby you just allow someone some remote access rights and workplace has been modernized as a result. This is a new way of thinking, is a new way of leading, it's a new way of managing, it's a new way of compensating, it's a new way of how you hire your talent. Yeah. Because there are various trends that are beginning to drive what's shaping work. Employers like you and I, you know, small business owners or mid-sized organizations or even very large companies, employers are shifting from managing the employee experience to managing the life experience at the same time.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. And there, I think there's an element, I mean, we do read that COVID fast-tracked a lot of this, and there's obviously a lot of challenge in adapting to that for organizations. I mean, us as a technology organization, the actual having people work from home and having people work remotely wasn't a big impact to us. We already use talent across the world anyway, so we're used to that. But I can see how, and working with customers and clients, how that has impacted them, not just from a certainly, the technology was one element, but that's fixable in a lot of cases. That can be done, but it's now this: how do we maintain that, and how do we manage that experience for our employees? And I think business owners and leaders are struggling with that at all levels, I think, because even when we look at the likes of Google and things like that, they were happy to send everyone home. But I'm reading reports now that they're like, oh, hang on. Well, if we're going to send them work from home, we've got to change the way we're remunerating them. We've got to, do they actually need to come into the office at some point? These type of things. So there's this whole shift again.
Look, there's definitely downsides of this whole modernization thing. I think it's very important to distinguish remote work from modern work. And working remotely, you know, we have at Resonate, we have 10 full-time staff members, and we have a hybrid work approach. We have a modern work approach, and we allow our team members, if there is no lockdown, to come to the corporate office if they so choose. But they can also work from home if they so choose. And I've been speaking with our team members who are aged from anywhere in their 20s to anywhere in their 50s. There are downsides to purely remote work. So modern work is sort of different to remote work, in my opinion. Modern work allows for modernization of the workplace, because workplace is no longer a thing you go to. It's a thing you do. And since it's a thing you do, modernization can only be powered by technology. And yeah, you can, you know, your leadership style will need to change. You'll need to trust your team members more. Your management style will change. Compensation plans might change. But the truth is, real modernization allows, through leveraging technology, and including, you know, organizations that are technology organizations like WinTech, they hold the key, not just because you're a client, because we have other clients in different parts of the country, but you hold the key to helping organizations modernize, because you hold the key to be able to introduce them to the technology stack, you know, the modern devices, the modern desktops, the modern laptops, the modern communication and collaboration softwares, which you correctly pointed out, some customers have not heard of these things. You know, what comes naturally to you and I, because we're in the technology business, right? So what comes absolutely naturally, and I'm sure WinTech went remote with no trouble at all. Resonate went remote with no trouble at all. It was literally the flick of a switch saying, hey guys, from tomorrow, you're not coming back.
Yeah, just work from the office, work from home. Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't actually matter.
Yeah.
Having said that, we have so many customers who said, what do you mean work from home? We couldn't do anything of what we do from home. So modernization, true modernization, will allow for people to work, and pardon the exaggeration here, but from a bus stand or a railway station.
You're right. And you mentioned it before. The word that stood out was hybrid, because this is about giving people choice.
Yeah.
And the only way you can give people choice is if you've got not only your systems and your technology to be able to support that, but it comes down to your processes within the business as well, because there are so many processes in businesses that have in the past relied on someone looking over their desk to the bloke next to them to ask a question to get to the next stage. Well, that doesn't necessarily exist. You don't have that function in this new this new world order, this modern workplace that needs to happen.
I think you're dead right. They also, what's really important to note is that what happened through COVID in terms of remote work is not the modernized work that you and I speak about. The modernized work you and I speak about is not just a response to the pandemic or response to the chaos that you're residing in. As companies are coming out of their chaos, they're realizing there's a new way of being. And that requires net new thinking that's much more positive. It's much more visionary than being, you know, we are in a dark situation. We can't go into work. The virus is floating around. None of our people can come into work. Supply chains are locked up. It's not that case anymore. We're coming out of it. And companies need to realize we need to modernize, not for the sake of dealing with a catastrophe. We need to modernize to be competitive, to access talent. I can share with you, my small organization has grown threefold through COVID because we found staff outside Sydney. We were headquartered in Sydney. I live in Sydney. My business partner lives in Sydney. And we found staff outside Sydney. We've got people now in Brisbane. We've got people in Wollongong, in the southern parts of New South Wales. So, and we have people now working overseas with us, like you have been working in different parts of the world as well. Our core contingency is here in Australia, but whether a person is working from Wollongong or they're working from Hay or Mildura or they're up in North Queensland or Western Australia, actually doesn't make a difference if they can do their job well. But the process of modernization of the workplace is different to the process of thinking we will just enable remote work. And that's where I think CXOs need to think differently on, is my organization ready for, as you very correctly pointed, a new world order? And is it ready for a modern workplace? Or are we just doing what we did through COVID and are we calling that modern workplace?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the challenge a lot of organizations faced is, yes, we were able to work remotely, so we must be modern and we must be able to continue to do this. But what we're seeing is they're not, because they haven't been able to effectively manage that from a personnel perspective, manage it from a process perspective. They were able to get people working. Was it effective and efficient? There's big questions around whether it was. And that's the trick now is, okay, well, great. You've got a component of that modernization in place. What's that next layer? What is it? Can you start, because we are seeing talent shortages, labor shortages, those type of things in lots of different areas, because people can't travel around the country because of lockdowns and border restrictions. We can't get people into the country. So how do we now tap that talent wherever they currently reside to deliver the outcomes that your business wants and that your clients want as well? And that's the modernization process. It's as you say, it's more than just that remote work. I see it as, yes, that's a clear foundation. If you can't work remotely, you can't build a modern workplace. So you've got to have that element. But it's those other things. How do you maintain that engagement with your staff, that engagement with your clients? How do you make sure the process and the movement of information within your business remains efficient and effective and accurate without that physical interaction that people used to have?
Yeah, look, spot on. And there's going to be cultural changes taking place, Tom, because there will be, intake of fresh graduates who've seen this happen and they are comfortable with the notion of it. And I noticed when COVID kickstarted, the graduates we hired then were very uncomfortable with the whole notion of, I'll be working from home, will I still have a job? And the people we put on this year, since they know that remote working is a thing, hybrid working is a thing, they've been really comfortable with the whole concept of remote work. They came in armed with their technology. Their laptop was ready to go. They spoke about their internet connection. They spoke about the fact that they've got a workspace ready to go. So there will be a cultural evolution. We're never going to go back to exactly how it used to be pre-COVID for all the right reasons as well. But there are downsides of it, there's no doubt. The psychological aspect you need to think about. I think for the organizations, if they're seeing this as a way of reducing their real estate footprint by 90% and never have anyone come back, then watch out for the cultural element, because depression kicks in for younger people if they're not, going out and about. So I think as leaders, as business owners, as senior execs, managers, you need to think about, how am I going to build a culture in a modern workplace environment, because there is a lack of control, which means you need to introduce a completion of trust in there. You need to trust the people who are working for you, and you need to make sure you're not overcalling them. You need to make sure that there isn't this work-life blur, that they're working till 9 o'clock at night. So all of those aspects need to be thought through as well as we build it. What I am realizing, though, is the security aspect. And you and I had a really healthy conversation about security for our own organization. Because we have deployed all these laptops and devices all over the country, and in some cases in other parts of the world, security has become a real concern for me as an exec and an owner of this business on how do we keep our data secure? How do we keep our organization secure? So flipping around back to you, if you don't mind my asking, what kind of security things do owners and business leaders need to watch out for in the modern workplace environment?
Yeah, well, no, that's a key element because, as you say, we now have people accessing information from multiple locations, from multiple devices. And the key element from a security perspective is understanding where that data is residing. Because yes, there's elements of we're still going to see phishing attacks. That's going to happen whether we're working from home or working in the office. But what we are seeing is more people responding to those phishing attacks because they're getting that email and they're just not sure if it is their boss sending them the email or not because they can't see them. They can't have that instant visual. So they're clicking on those links and getting compromised in that element. So there's an element of awareness needs to be increased and continually advised throughout the organization. Then there's, as I mentioned briefly before, the data aspect of where that data is actually sitting, because no longer, and we've been transitioning this way for a number of years, but no longer does that piece of data sit on a server that you actually can see, touch, and feel in your office. It doesn't happen anymore. We're relying on the cloud. We're potentially relying on people's personal computers. Well, how secure are they? Are they running antivirus? Are they letting their kids play all sorts of games on there that they got spyware? So we're now introducing these unknown elements. And that's really critical for people to understand, particularly in organizations such as finance and accounting and things like that, where they're dealing with sensitive client information. You don't want that sitting on someone's home computer. So you need to be thinking about the controls that need to go in place to support that working arrangement. And this is where we're seeing a significant shift to mobile computing, company-owned mobile devices, as in laptops and tablets, because we can enforce security very easily on those devices. We know where they are. We know who's using them. We can control where the data lives. And that's probably the two biggest things we see in this new modern hybrid environment is awareness. So people not having that confidence of, is that the boss emailing me or not? Because I can't see them. I can't ask anyone next to me. And would I feel silly if I post that into a Teams chat and things like that? Just in case, I'll click the link, just in case. So we see that. So we've got to keep that high visibility of awareness. This is what's happening. This is what to look out for. Don't click it if you're not sure. And encourage people to give them confidence to be able to ask those questions and not feel silly. And then the second thing is where that data resides and how you're going to control and manage that, because ultimately that's the biggest risk to every organization is their data. If it's sitting on an employee's personal device, well, they could go to another employer very, very easily, and now all that goes with them. So you've got a risk of IP being leaked, you've got risk of client information, client data, all these type of things. And we still have the virus issues and all that sort of stuff. But I think they're secondary now to these two key elements around security.
Yeah, look, I'd read an article which triggered me to calling you and asking you about how exposed are we? And further to the conversation with you, my business partner and I realized we were extremely exposed. And, you know, we've kickstarted a whole project based on your recommendations to us. And we hadn't put in, you know, we're technically fairly savvy guys. Both of us come from IT backgrounds, but we hadn't done the thinking that needed to be done. If I may touch on another point, Tom, one of the things that I've noticed some customers do is in the case of where people are returning back to work, they are approaching the workspace as, okay, it used to be like this, it's going to continue being like this, but when you're not at work from home, you can work however you wish to, which means it's not the true hybridization that business owners must think about. I believe that we all have an idea of what a typical office looks like and feels like. And, you know, mixture of private offices, you've got cubicles, you've got meeting rooms and shared amenities, all of that jazz. But very few offices have been intentionally designed to support a modern workplace priority system. And although offices have changed in some ways, during the last 10 years or so, we need to entirely rethink and transform for a post-COVID-19 world on what the physical office at work should look like. Would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think there's still a little bit of unknown as to what that can look like as well from a compliance and safety element, because when I first looked at it and see it, I actually see it as a very dynamic space where people need to be able to choose where they want to work firstly. So I'm either working at home, so I need to, as an employer, I want to give them the space or the equipment to be able to do that. But ultimately, I want them to be able to turn up at the office for either their own personal well-being to be able to collaborate with the group and just continue doing what they're doing. So there's an element of giving them their space in their office in that collaboration area. But secondly to that, I think it's really key that they have defined areas and defined structure around true collaboration spaces. So smaller meeting rooms, smaller collaboration spaces where, okay, I'd actually need to go and talk to my engineering team about this particular project. Let's all meet in the office. We've got the whiteboard set up. We know that John still is working in Sydney and he can't travel, but we've got the room set up so we can do full video conference to him while he's still at home and share that environment. So it becomes that meshed space. I don't think we're going to get to a point where everybody's in the office at one time. And I don't think we, from a compliance perspective, are going to be able to do that anyway. And I think hot desking needs to be thought about, but I still think hot desking's a suitable arrangement if we're providing the measures around it. And when I talk about that, it's, well, if we're hot desking, we're hot desking for a day, we're booking it out, but we've got cleaners lined up to do the deep clean as we go through and things like that. So we've got to think about those elements around it. But it is a mix. If we look at an office environment, I think it's a mix of, let's call it hot desking spaces that are pre-equipped so people could just click in and work. And it's the same as them clicking in at work, working at home. And I say that by they've got common devices, we've got common systems, everything's the same, but they've got more collaboration spaces for those defined things, right? I need to meet with six people and we're going to meet and this is the time and we're all working in this office and it's already kitted out. That's the way I see it. Obviously, room booking systems and desk booking systems sort of align with that. So everyone's got visibility as to, okay, those six desks are taken today and those three collaboration rooms are taken. I'll book my time around that. So a lot more scheduling and management.
Absolutely. And I think by the same token, I think what needs to also happen is we need to reconstruct how work is actually approached and how work is done. And allow me to share my thought process on this. So, for example, previously, if an organization may have generated ideation or ideas by coming together in a meeting, and they brainstormed in a physical space or in a digital whiteboard, and then they assigned someone to take the meeting notes down and that ideation got converted into strategy, so on and so forth. Today, we need to start looking at a completely new process that might have asynchronous ways of brainstorming on a Teams channel, etc.
Exactly, yeah.
And incorporating ideas from across the organization asynchronously and then coming together in a Teams call where you can have that impact. So I think whilst we are redesigning, workspaces, just reconstructing how work has traditionally been done with the firm, not necessarily through the lens of, this is remote work, these were the processes we had, we've digitized them, or we are conducting them in a digital manner, so that's been modernized. That's not the case. I think we need to come up with brand new ways of working that are ground up digital from a work process perspective.
Well, yeah, and yes, you're absolutely right. And the tools exist to be able to do that. You've mentioned them there, Teams and things like that. And it drives that innovation and that ability to collaborate wherever we are. So we give people the physical space to do it, as in collaboration spaces, hot desking sort of situations, those type of things. So physically they can do the work from wherever they feel comfortable or where they want to do it at that time. And secondly is the technology that sits around that is allowing them to continue that collaboration both in that session, but also continuously through the use of things like Teams or Slack or whatever it is that people want to use, to build those environments where we can effectively have those, let's call them project teams, collaborating on what it is they need to do and deliver. And I think the benefits that come out of that is we're able to build flexibility into the overall process where we can record these sessions. So we're recording this session that we're doing today. The system is automatically transcribing everything we say. So it's already transcribed. So it means if someone's missed this meeting for whatever reason, they have the full meeting history there and then to catch up in on their own time, on their own requirements. And that makes for an extremely efficient approach to the collaboration because there's no longer that requirement, oh, geez, I missed that meeting. Now I've got to try and contact six people to get their key points out of it, whereas I can sit there and I can watch and read what exactly happened and then provide my input with context. So it's using the technology, I think, is the thing that people may be a little bit afraid of still. They probably, a lot of them have this technology in play. It's just, how do I use this within the framework of what I'm doing in the business? Because that requires change of thinking, and that's difficult.
What have you found to be the big barriers to why organizations would not want to modernize? I mean, and I understand that COVID has led to this need that all of us need to do it. But prior to COVID, what were the hesitation points that you found on why business leaders said, not interested in remote work, not interested in hybrid work, this is how we do it, this is how we've always done it?
I think it comes down to there's a leadership, the traditional leadership styles don't support remote working. So as a leader, a manager, whatever it is in the business, if I can't see someone working, how do I know that they're working? Yeah. And that legitimately is one of the biggest challenges. And that was some of the pushback, and even during COVID, some of the challenges for organizations were, I don't know if my team are working. I can't see them. Mm. Well, you've now got to move very, and it's a mindset shift from visually seeing someone do an action, because I mean, we could all be sitting in the office and we could still be doing anything else other than work. To focusing on the output. What is the expectation of what needs to be delivered rather than the expectation of seeing someone doing something? So if you can shift your management, I guess, your leadership style to output and outcomes and focus on am I getting the outcomes in the desired time frame, then it makes it a lot easier to support that modern workplace management style. So I think that was one of the biggest challenges for organisations was that shift. And we still see some going, well, now COVID's finished, everyone back into the office.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't want to come back to the office. Yeah, but you don't need to work from home anymore. You can work from the office. Well, can I do it 2 days a week? No, you've got to be in the office. And it's these type of things. So, and I think that comes down to leadership style and not being trust you mentioned before. I think there's an element of trust there, but the trust only comes from not having the visibility of your outputs at an organizational level, being able to monitor the numbers, being able to monitor your KPIs, those type of things. That's where you build, that's where you're able to manage a modern workplace based on, you obviously need the people element. I'm not saying you don't have to have that engagement, but what you have to have is you have to have those key KPIs in place that are measurable and visible so that everyone knows what we're working towards. That's how we're able to run a remote modern team in our, we have team in Philippines. I don't see them. I don't necessarily talk to them, but I know the level of performance is happening based on two or three key KPIs that we track religiously. Now, when they change, we know there's an issue. Now we dig in and find out what that is. But we don't have to see them actually working to be able to know if those results are happening.
Also, I mean, there is a war for talent out there, which has been a, you know, true statement, regardless of where you were in your life cycle as a business. It's hard to find good people to work for you. And if you can't build that trust, forget hiring millennials and the current generation, because they will not work for organizations that fundamentally don't trust them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to look, I trust first until someone breaks that trust, naively or not. That's generally how I approach things. So, but in an employment situation, I trust that you're going to do your job. I have some controls in place and visuals that I can see to measure if you're doing your job. As long as that's being met, go and do it. How you do it, I'm not so concerned about. As long as you're getting the quality outcomes we want, I'm not here to dictate exactly how you do that role. And that's a shift, and that takes a shift to be able to do that. But you've got to have the tools in place to support that. You couldn't go hire someone on the other side of the country or the other side of the world and expect them to do the job unless you've predefined what those controls are.
Absolutely. Look, it's going back to the leadership style and management style. You know, a lot of the business schools and a lot of our traditional history of how we've worked has taught us to lead in physical workspaces. Yeah. We weren't coached and guided and mentored to lead remote teams the way it has become, and that evolution needs to take place. And again, technology is such an important enabler of all of this, because the reason to physically be present next to each other, I mean, of course, there's a human connection side to it, but reality, it's a legacy way of thinking, and the way of thinking needs to evolve if you're going to have a truly modern workplace. And again, I think it's so important to separate out a remote workplace from a modern workplace,
because definitely
modern workplaces will have those trust elements already built in by default. And I don't think you're wrong in or naive in starting with trust first, because if you don't start with trust first, then you will never start with digital first. And you and I mean, we've been, you know, you and I have never met in the physical world, but we've met through technology, and you decided to start working with us. And companies need to realize that their employee experience needs to be digital for their customer experience to be digital. So you can't be physical as an organization and then expect a digital customer experience at the
Correct. End. It doesn't align, and you end up with that disjointed approach, and that's the thing. And yeah, look, I mean, there's so many moving parts in being able to move to this modern platform, and people are obviously key to it, and people and their emotions and their attachment to different things is always the challenge in any change. So there's that, but you're right. It's trusting the process, it's trusting the people, and it's. I was speaking to someone earlier today, and it's taking that step, and they explained it as we just took the step into the middle of the freeway. We didn't even look. We just stepped out, and we just kept going. We got run over, but we realized we didn't die from it. So we were able to take the next lane and the next lane, and we got to where we needed to go. So there is an element. You've got to have that trust in the process, the trust in the people. And you've obviously got to want to change as well. Because if there's no desire to change, well, all this conversation is for nothing anyway. And that ultimately comes down to the individual and the C-level and the management, the CXOs and the management of those organizations have to be open to change.
Yeah, look, I think what's equally important from a change perspective is how leaders approach culture, especially through the lens of mental well-being of the team members. You know, traditionally, when people have come into work, you have physical sight. You could see how the team member is actually going. You could have a chat about that. Today, when you've got team members sitting 600 Ks away from you and you only meet them through your Teams catch-up or your Google Meets or your Zoom, however you congregate, if you don't have the right management and leadership approach to proactively building that relationship on a video camera, chances are you won't be having a cold one with them anytime soon, once a year probably at the Christmas party. What are your thoughts on that? How does leadership and management need to change to manage that remote workforce, not remote workforce of third-party firms, which is, you know, contractors or suppliers, but I'm talking about your own people sitting in a different state or in a different town?
To be honest, I don't think the approach is much different to what it is in person. If you look at good organisations, I think, and those with a good culture within there, it's still a high touch organization. So we look at things like daily huddles, getting the team together in their teams daily, with structure around it, and then extending that out to one-on-ones. And instead of them being quarterly one-on-ones, because you would be in the office and you could touch base with them, we drive it as fortnightly one-on-ones with everyone in the business. So just like you and I here, video has to be on. We have to be communicating, those type of things. We have to be looking at each other. You're not going to pick up on all the underlying things, but in this sort of environment, you can still have a fairly effective engagement and build that relationship with someone. And the fact that you do it more often will drive that, I think, in a better way as well. So it can be more open. You've got to be more open in those relationships. And you can only do that by giving them the opportunity, such as those one-on-ones. And I think that's where it's an overhead, and it's a significant, it's a hard process to do when you're sort of scaling. But you've got to have your leadership team confident to do it as well, not just you as the owner and the manager. All your management needs to be in that position to have the one-on-ones with their individual team. You don't have the water chat cooler anymore. The water cooler chat, sorry.
No.
So you've got to manufacture that in some way, but it has to be structured.
I also think that the digital aspect of it, as in business leaders embracing technology completely, is a crucial part of whether a modern workplace will succeed or not. Because, and you know, it could be easy for me to say, because I'm running an organization that helps market technology firms like WinTech. It's easy for you to say, because you own and operate WinTech, which is a technology services provider. But the truth is that the solution very much is in technology. You cannot build a modern workplace that is not technology-driven, technology-savvy, end-to-end. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
No, it is all technology-driven. But technology is only as good as the people that you've got in place, not from those deploying it, but the people within the business adopting that technology, and the processes within the business adapting to the technology and leveraging the technology. I can put in the best technology platform in the world, and you can spend as much money as you want deploying this technology, and everyone can have laptops and everyone can have teams and cameras and the whole thing. But if your business process still relies on a piece of paper going across someone's desk to sign, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter how good the technology is. And then second to that, if your people aren't willing to change and adapt to the technology, it's not going to work. So technology by far is the foundation of the whole lot. No doubt. You have to have the right technology in place, and it has to be maintained and managed and structured in such a way, secure, all those type of things. You need to tick all those boxes. But until you actually get your people engaged in it and your processes adapting to it, you're not going to realize the true benefits of that modern workplace. Because you can't have a modern workplace if there's still a piece of paper getting moved around the office that someone has to sign on. Because how does someone in Western Australia and I'm in Brisbane get me that piece of paper? Well, I'm going to email it to me. Okay, now I've got to print it. Now I've got to sign it. Now I've got to send it back. Like, it's useless. It needs to be technology focused.
On the technology front, what would you say are the essential components of being able to modernize a workplace? Because I find, a modern workplace is really like, you know, the six blind people touching an elephant, and it depends on what part of the elephant you're touching is what a modern workplace is.
Yep.
So I speak to sometimes, you know, people in HR, and they say, to us, a modern workplace is about the communication technology and the collaboration technology, as long as I can onboard staff remotely. You talk to a CIO, they straight away go down the pathway of talking about Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365, et cetera. You talk to the CEO, and he or she is talking about sustainability, et cetera. So what, in your opinion, when technology is the discussion for a workplace that is modern, what should be the checkpoints for, these are the checkpoints we need to check to call it a modern workplace?
That's an interesting, yeah. I mean, look, and you're right, because everyone in the business that you talk to is going to have a different definition of what modern work. So that's probably the key element. But what I think it is at the end of the day is, can your business function regardless of where people how people are using it. Well, that's probably not. Can your business continue to function and grow regardless of where your people are? That is probably my definition of the ultimate modern workplace. So if your business can continue to function and deliver high levels of customer service, can continue to grow, and your team can be anywhere doing it, that's the ultimate goal, ultimately. So to achieve that, it actually comes down to processes within your business. You need to be very clear about how the information flows through your business, how you capture that information, how you distribute that information, and how you store that information. Both from all the way from the customer engagement through to whatever it is you're delivering, be it a service or a widget. That information has to flow, and it has to flow digitally. That's the only true way to get a modern workplace. Now, that will then meet the demands and meet the requirements of those other areas, finance, because they know where to tap in to get the data. HR, they can onboard their team seamlessly. They've got onboarding checklists. It's all automated. It's all digitized.
Yeah, look, the workplace of the future definitely is flexible. It's very connected. Yep. And ultimately, if it's digital, then the technology conversation becomes, a very important one to have.
And I think that applies to any industry as well. So even things like retail and manufacturing and things like that. Okay, your team can't sell from home necessarily if they're in a clothing shop, but your administration function should be able to continue to operate regardless, and then we're just employing those direct people. Your manufacturing firm, you're building your widget. Yes, someone has to be in the plant to an extent. We can robotics and all sorts of stuff will do that. But the operational component of that business, the sales component, all that can be wherever. As you say, at the bus stop or at the railway station, doesn't matter.
Look, I was having a chat with one of my sort of business partners in Microsoft, and he was saying one of the key developments that have taken place over the last 2 or 3 years is the front line that was generally not considered an information worker has now been included as an information worker. Mm-hmm. Because even at the point of sale, technology is still in play, even physical workspaces, et cetera. So it's not just a B2B conversation. Even consumer-facing businesses need to modernize all aspects of the employee experience so they can deliver that customer experience. Because if your people don't have the right technology with them when they are engaging with the customers, chances are then pure digital businesses, pure play digital businesses, which is clicks and mortar businesses, will do better than bricks and mortar businesses in that case.
That's right. And it is. It comes down to that customer experience, and customer experience is defined and built on data. And the only way you can capture and effectively use data is through technology. That's the take on it. So I'm interested from your side, though, the take on what do you define as that modern workplace? What are the ticks in from your perspective?
Yeah, look, I think the device itself is quite an important one, Tom, because ultimately, I think a modern workplace focuses on the end user. It's the people who are doing the actual work. I'm not suggesting that those in leadership are not doing actual work, but it's really the people at the front line of the organization that's working, or even those in middle office or back office that are working with the actual devices. So the device becomes important. Mm-hmm. I believe, and pardon being overtly technical here, but the operating system running on the device or the browsers or the software applications running on the device being cutting edge, being updated, being modern. Very important. The device itself being relatively modern.
Yep.
Very important. Accessing your corporate resources, whether you're doing it from a very old network that the company has or a network that's cutting edge, will define the experience of the employee. Yep. Because you're accessing these corporate networks from rather legacy, if you're accessing the corporate applications from a rather legacy setup as far as networking is concerned, it's clunky, it's slow, you start getting frustrated, then you're saying, well, I'm not really enjoying my job because I'm having to do this 8 hours a day on a clunky network. So I think that needs to be thought through. So the device, the network, I think your applications, the server side, which is, what are the corporate applications that you're using to do the actual work itself? And you might be using Xero for accounting and Salesforce for CRM, whatever your applications are, those applications also become part of the modern workplace. Are they current? Are they updated? Are they properly configured? Other than devices, the network, the corporate application side of it, I think the security aspect is quite important. I think a modern workplace cannot be modern unless it's secure. So people, if they're doing their work, they should be able to seamlessly work through their personal and professional applications in a secure manner. No one wants their personal data, you know, compromised, or corporate IT to have access to it, et cetera. I just think that using a holistic lens when you're thinking the modern workplace is the way to go. So the conversation needs to be had in the C-suite, the CEO, the chief information officer in IT, and the COO and CFO, and HR and sales, and everyone in the organization at the leadership layer needs to define what are the elements of workplace modernization that are important to them from their perspective. So it's a holistic conversation. So to me, modern workplaces is not just about working remote. It's looking at all aspects of leadership and management and business process and truly modernizing so you can remain competitive.
Yep. You're right. As you say, it's more than that. It's no longer, and hasn't been for a while, modern. It's not dictated by IT. It's not dictated by the IT department anymore. IT isn't something that just sits in the corner that's got its black art over there. I mean, yeah, there's elements of complexities to it, but it's the business that needs to drive the decisions, not IT driving the decisions.
Indeed. Look, change management and emotions is two things businesses must take into account. You know, if you're modernizing your workplace, how's the change coming about? Do you have someone internal or external managing the change aspect? And I'm talking the human aspect rather than the IT change aspect. And the other is the emotion aspect of it, you know, where someone would have traditionally really enjoyed work in a particular manner. And now they're being asked to modern work, which might be remote, might be hybrid. You become ships sailing by night. You don't meet your colleagues, et cetera. All of that needs to be managed in organizations. Whilst for COVID, there was a novelty. There was a novelty of working remotely. There was a novelty of being able to go for a walk first thing in the morning and come back and start work without having to travel. The novelty side will wear off, and the new norm will become the norm. And in that norm, that change management aspect needs to stand the test of time rather than just stand the test of remote work through COVID.
Yep, very true. Very true.
And that needs to be thought through. And at least in our organization, we've managed the change well, but I think the emotion management side of it, we're still working through that process.
Yep. No, I agree. No, that's good. We could talk about this for hours, I'm sure, but we probably need to wrap it up there. But that's been excellent conversation, RK. I think, there's certainly a heap of lessons to be had out of that and some really good insights into how this new modern workplace needs to start looking and being aware that it is far from just a technology discussion.
Absolutely, and yes, technology is probably one of the most important discussions you'll have as long as it's people-centered.
Correct.
Think all aspects of modernization. Think your leadership style. Think your management style. Think your compensation structure. Don't pay people less just because they're working remotely. I'll definitely add to that. Not that we're doing that.
Thanks, Google.
Also, think the soft and the hard measures of how you define success, but also think about your business processes again. Are they hardwired to how you used to work in a pre-modern technology-based work? And have you really taken a hard look at your organization, not only from the perspective of modern work, but what are your competitors doing and what's the best in class in any industry doing? When was the last time you really thought that through? Also, COVID is coming to a close, hopefully. How will you emerge as a power in your industry? How will you emerge as an organization that can hang on to talent and that can attract talent if it's not truly modern in every essence of the word, every essence of the definition modern? Tom, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Been a pleasure.
Thank you, RK. Speak soon.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. Hope you got some value. We'd really love for you to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on YouTube and LinkedIn. Look forward to bringing you some more episodes soon.